Russia's bombs hit a children's hospital in northern Ukraine in the past number of hours. Local officials say that 28 people were injured, including four children. The attack, one of many on the city of Sumy yesterday, came as US and Russian officials met in Saudi Arabia to discuss plans to pause strikes on Ukrainian energy infrastructure, as well as a potential ceasefire in the Black Sea, so that grain and fuel exports can be resumed. We're joined now by Christopher Miller, Ukraine correspondent with the Financial Times. Christopher, thanks for taking our call again this morning. The attacks go on, don't they, regardless of what's happening in these talks?
They do, absolutely. Russia's attacks in the air have not ceased. We've seen attacks across the country every day, every night. Just before I went to sleep last night here in Kyiv, the air raid sirens started sounding, and we were getting alerts on our phones here in Ukraine about just what was in the air, right? So those could be ballistic missiles, those could be attack drones, and they are targeting civilian infrastructure across the country. And yesterday, we saw just what those types of attacks are capable of, which is in the city of Sumy in the northeast, near where Russian and Ukrainian forces are battling it out in the Kursk region. There was a missile attack on a residential area that badly damaged a school and injured 88 people, including 17 children.
And while they're talking about potentially ending attacks on energy infrastructure, presumably the people of Ukraine would like an end to the attacks on civilian targets, first of all.
Certainly. The Ukrainians have essentially said, or explicitly said, rather, that they are willing to sign up for the U.S. proposed 30-day full ceasefire. That is not just the ceasefire on energy infrastructure, but a complete ceasefire, meaning a cessation of hostilities for that 30-day period, during which the United States has proposed that they discuss a lengthier ceasefire that would see hostilities, of course, cease for a longer term. The Russians, when they came to the table with the United States the previous time in Saudi Arabia, said that they would not agree to that. And Vladimir Putin told President Donald Trump by phone that he would not agree to a full ceasefire yet and wanted to discuss more details, and instead said that he would cease fire only on energy facilities.
Which he hasn't done either, though, has he?
Correct, but he has not done that. The Ukrainians have accused him of continuing to attack energy infrastructure, and we saw just a few days ago attacks, a huge drone attack on the port city of Odessa in Ukraine's south on the Black Sea there, where emergency power shutdowns were in place because of those attacks. So Ukrainians have said, you know, nobody wants peace more than them. They are looking for a full ceasefire. It's the Russians that are dragging their feet right now.
Will you explain the focus on the Black Sea and why a ceasefire there would be beneficial?
Both Russia and Ukraine have several key ports on the Black Sea. Ukraine uses its ports, particularly those around Odessa, as well as the cities of Kherson and Mykolaiv, and previously in Mariupol and Berdyansk, which were on the Sea of Azov, an inland sea connected to the Black Sea, to export grain and steel and other products. Now, Russia has captured two of those ports, the Berdyansk and Mariupol port and the Sea of Azov, beside the Black Sea, and it has largely controlled what comes in and out of Ukrainian ports in the Black Sea because it has had its naval ships in the sea. But the Ukrainians have been really successful, actually, even without having any battleships of its own, using naval attack drones to push Russian military ships out of this Black Sea area around occupied Crimea and back toward these Russian area ports. So the Ukrainians have been able to some extent use the Odessa ports to export goods. The Russians would like to export fuel and other material from its ports, and right now it's just not able to do that because of this active military situation. So both sides see it as a benefit to have potentially a ceasefire in the Black Sea, hence the focus on that area.
Christopher, the area we were talking about at the start, Sumy, that borders Kursk, and that's the region of Russia which Ukraine occupied parts of. Has Russia regained all of that now?
Russia has not regained all of that territory, but of the roughly 1,000 square kilometers that Ukraine took during its surprise incursion in August last year, only about 80 roughly square kilometers, give or take, because it's a very fluid situation, remains in Ukrainian hands. So the Russians have taken back nearly all of this territory. And Ukrainians still have this tiny little foothold in that area, but they've been under a sort of controlled withdrawal from that area. So the Russians have had success in pushing them out, but it's come at a huge cost. They have had to bring in 12,000 North Korean soldiers to help push the Ukrainians out over the past several months, and the Russians have themselves taken huge casualties, both in personnel and military material.
Christopher, thank you very much indeed. Christopher Miller, Ukraine correspondent with the Financial Times, on the reality of the war in Ukraine. Meanwhile, talks in Saudi today between Ukraine and the United States will continue.